Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We today are continuing our discussion about religion versus spirituality and taking your calls for on-air readings. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. So please do call us and press 1 if you'd like to speak with us so we know that you want a reading. You may follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour, and we do appreciate your support on those sites. Okay, so, you know, where we left off was we had a caller come in on Wednesday, and she was talking about universal laws. Actually, we exchanged a couple of emails. I have to return an email to her. But in fact, those universal laws that she was mentioning are man-made. They actually come from a church, which is funny. Do you know, did I tell you that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they come from a universalist church. But you know, what I was saying, Neil, or trying to say on the show last week was, or last Wednesday, or Tuesday it was, wasn't it? Is that obviously spirituality is the essence of life. So to compare religion to spirituality and if one to the other and what's more enriching, obviously spirituality is. But my contention was that religion, though it has its duality, there are positive things, and you can find spirituality within church. You can develop your spirituality. There's charity that goes on. It's like education versus knowledge. I mean, obviously there has to be structure sometimes in life. That's how the planet how the planet operates. So,
well, we're basically dealing with two nouns: religion and spirit. Spirit emerges from the soul. There is no place we go to that's constructed under the guise of spirit. It comes within the body, and its definition is very elusive.
Right.
There are really no regulations or anything regarding spirit. It seems to be something that is divine. That is beyond the body and things like this.
Right. To define it with words is very difficult because
it doesn't come with any incorporated sense of intelligence in terms of religion, which is man-made. That comes from the body itself. It comes from the mind. It comes from organization. It comes from beliefs. It's an entirely different category than spirit. Can church or religion or synagogue capture the essence of spirit? Of course, naturally, and in essence, they should. But that means that spirit is incorporated into religion.
Right.
Religion
isn't incorporated into spirit. Obviously.
Into spirit. Spirit has nothing to do with religion. Spirit has nothing to do with man-made definitions. It's a spiritual energy. So they're not irreversible. You can't interchange them directly. With synchronicity, you can't.
Synchronicity.
I'm sorry, you can't do it. So when we look at religion, which captures the definition of spirit, it is still not the same thing.
No, of course not.
And in fact, religion confines the true essence of spirit to a specific
denomination, or of course,
ordinance for that matter.
Right.
I mean, it's not really an ordinance, but there are laws and whatnot within religion. We all know that.
And what I was saying about karma obviously pertains to the planet. So as far as it being, I mean, we have limitations as human beings trying to ascend to the level of spirit. So there are laws that are applied to human beings that are, they're not written laws, obviously. I mean, they're not, but they do come from the spiritual realm.
Well, sure. I mean, if religion incorporates the idea of spirit and then incorporates the ideas of laws, of course, naturally, there are laws. But that is based on the definition of spirit within religion. If we take spirit out of religion, there are really no laws. We could imagine that there are laws of peace and serenity and tranquility and the essence of just positive
gratitude
energy.
And
but
faith.
Those are such vague parameters of what a law is. It really doesn't amount to words. Spoken word. Spirit is not really a spoken word. It's an essence. Religion is a spoken word. It becomes a speech. It becomes a speech built on an organization, built on laws, beliefs, faiths. And there are certain rules and regulations, as we said, within that. So I don't want to pollute the essence of spirit as far as it is clearly defined, if we can put it that way, in and of itself. Because if we start to congregate spirit with religion, we are no longer looking at pure spirit. We're looking at a conditional spirit based on, it's like a taming an ant. It's like taking a wild animal and observing it in a zoo and saying, this is the essence of the wild animal. Yes, we're looking at the animal, but it's not the essence of the animal. It's confined in a cage, however beautified the environment is or long the environment is, it's still contained and it doesn't have that freedom. Spirit is a freedom. It is not confined by the otherwise religious parameters. So that was my point. And when we talk about the laws of the universe, first of all, the emphasis is on universe. Laws is a supplement. It's a pronoun. The laws of the universe. First of all, what we were trying to explain is that I don't know of any specific laws of the universe. The universe is a concept that doesn't allot to laws unless we're looking at physics, like we said, or science. Laws of gravitational fields and magnetic fields and
What's a pronoun?
Huh?
Sorry, I lost you. What's a pronoun? Universe is not a pronoun.
No. The laws of the universe.
Well, there's
the law,
it's not a pronoun.
The laws of the universe. The universe is the noun, not laws.
Right, not pronoun, though. Noun.
Yeah.
Noun. It's not a pronoun. It's a noun.
That's what I'm saying.
You said pronoun. But anyway.
No. Laws is the pronoun. Laws is not the noun here. The main idea here is universe. Laws are a part of the universe. So the main emphasis in universal laws is not the laws of the universe is not in the same concept.
I understand that. Law is not a pronoun, though. But anyway, it doesn't matter. So... I understand what you're saying. It's not accurate with the person's speech.
And there is no concept that I know of in terms of reversing it, universal laws. I don't know what universal laws are.
Because it's not universal laws. These universal laws have not been transmitted via a spiritual entity, an angel or God.
No,
they're
there are no
created
laws. And laws are established in a
by man
system, so we have order, law and order, but laws are man-made. They're not God-made.
So, but the confusing part of it is that there are rules that apply to human souls. There are that are, I mean, we can say that they're man-made, the idea of karma. I mean, that's a word that's man-made. However, those rules and strict guidelines do apply to people on the earth, and it is in relation to
but they're imposed by people. They're imposed by people.
What are they imposed by people?
Those laws of the, there are the laws of the soul. We impose those laws. We create those laws. The soul doesn't come in. The soul doesn't extract it from the body. The soul, there are no laws on the body. There are no laws produced on the soul. I mean, that is, laws come in by way of the soul being incorporated into the body and the body being established on the planet, and we create laws for proper conduct, law and order, for rights and wrongs and things like this. The idea that God said, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, those were systems of behavior.
Behavior imposed by God through Moses on
Mount Sinai.
On human beings.
Yes, but it's different than literally laws.
Okay, right. Yes, I understand that. I understand that. But when we talk about the process of judgment on the soul, there are, I mean, they're not written laws necessarily, but the soul goes through a process of judgment, which is not, I mean, it's pertaining to the planet, obviously, and behavior that occurs on the planet, but it isn't, that judgment isn't on the planet.
It's a little bit vague there because there is an evaluation of the soul's conduct, be it the body, and then there is a sort of judgment. And supposedly there's supposed to be a judgment according to some religions.
According to some religions and according to our theories, yes, because why do we come in with a code of birth date with karmic and transcendent energy?
Even those commandments, they're not laws, they're not the 10 laws. They're the 10 commandments, which there are actually more commandments than 10. It goes way up into the double digits.
the 85 commandments.
Well, the 26 or something. But the idea that a commandment is different than a law. This is what God has commanded us to do. It's different than a law. That's why the two words are not synonymous.
Well, they're not synonymous.
But when we get into the idea of a soul committing an offense, it's within the context of the earth.
Right. Understood.
Yes. So everything is within the context of the earth. It is not a universal concept.
No, it's not a universal concept. And I was on the last show, I said, you know, perhaps this is what our caller was referring to in regard to universal law. I was trying to, you know, help her establish her point. But of course, they're not universal laws because they pertain to the planet. However, it is, and it's not a law per se because, you know, there are no written rules according to karma and how a soul is judged on that spiritual plane once the soul leaves the body. It's.
Well, yes, but on our planet, there are no absolute laws. What is law for one country may not be law for the other. So there's such diversity in this terminology. Yes, there are laws on the planet Earth, but they're not all going to be uniform. And when you look at, to put it to a simple metaphor, the Earth in relation to the universe and the difference thereof would be like the laws in a school classroom
as opposed to
going home and playing in the streets, baseball, or going on vacation. Every section of our planet has rules of conduct. You'd go to a concert and you hear music, but you don't go to a bank and see a concert in the bank and everybody's waving and singing along. You might hear piped in music, but you're not going to... we have different rules of conduct specific to the location and the environment,
obviously,
where we are at. Now, the earth itself may be one of those rooms. It's one section of a universe.
How do we examine what other rules may exist in other universes or in
it's
other
not pertinent. We don't
right.
know, and it's
yeah.
not pertinent to the discussion because we can only take
do
care
we,
of our
sure.
planet. But to say that our planet rules the universe is pretty presumptuous.
No, well, that's inaccurate. Never. No, I don't think
so,
that anybody.
Well. When we
was
impose
implying
the idea
that.
Of universal
laws, right.
we're
saying
that
the,
our planet rules the universe, and so therefore we create the laws of the universe. Absurd.
I don't think the caller was trying to say that. I think the caller was rather saying that these universal laws are imposed by the universe onto
the
planet.
The caller is innocent. There's no problem with the caller's concepts, and there's no, I understand the idea
don't
behind
think that,
the call.
Right, I don't think she was saying that the
no,
planet
no.
rules the universe. I think it was
no,
the
it's
opposite.
Not an attack on the caller by any means, and it's not even an attack upon the concept of universal laws. It's just my take on what is specifically defined, and we seem to get sloppy in our thinking. Well, you know, you're getting too nitpicky. There are universal laws, and this is where they come from, and this is what we mean. But no, it's like saying, well, you know, you're getting too nitpicky. It's not really slavery. We're giving these people a job, and, you know, we're giving them shelter, and we're giving them food. No, the noun itself is wrong. It's wrong. So to try to justify it, to me, is not even
no,
a discussion.
No, I don't think we're trying to.
Absurd to me.
No, I don't think we're trying to justify it. Though I think we're just
yeah.
trying to make sense of what happened at the end of the show and define it clearly for the listeners.
Well, I don't mean to offend the caller.
No, I think you are.
The caller is right to a certain extent, but we're getting into a deep. It led us to a doorway of a deeper discussion.
Right, and
really
you know the
means.
Levels of conduct that apply to people on the earth that. You know, we hope to aspire to those quote unquote universal laws that were presented because I got an email. I mean, those are all great, but we have to understand the context of which they are applied. And it's not, you know, this imposition of some higher spiritual being, you know, creating a rule book. That's not it
right.
at all.
You know, and
for which we, you know, that's supposed to modify our conduct.
It.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we've explained it.
Well, we do have a caller right now. Should
okay,
we take
so
on the caller?
And
we can get back to this momentarily. I'm writing down the number. We're going to take the caller from 251 area code. If it
Hi, I just joined in. I'm not sure exactly if you guys are doing readings or what you've got
yeah,
going on.
Yeah, if you wanted a reading, we are. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Sure. What's your name?
It's Crystal.
Crystal, is it C-R-Y-S-T-A-L or C-H?
K-R.
Oh.
K-R-I-S-T-A-L. Uh-huh.
K-R-I-S-T-A-L. Crystal. That's an unusual spelling.
Yeah.
But I like that.
It's kind of more
German.
My name starts with a K too, so there you
go. Cool.
My name starts with a K. It's K N E L L.
It's the German spelling.
Now that we've established ourselves
we're
as
the KKK. We're
the KKK.
Hilarious.
Our discussion.
Okay. Crystal, where are you calling from?
Alabama.
All right.
And you have a question about a banjo?
I was going to say, she's not Susanna. I won't start singing. Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay. Enough with the jokes. Okay, Crystal. If this is your first time calling, now that you've vomited, you can get on with the discussion.
Thank you. It's my
Go
first
ahead.
Time, yes.
Yeah. It's your first time. What's your question?
direction. Like, I feel like I'm kind of at a stagnant point where I'm kind of bored with what I've been doing, and I'm just wanting some direction for the future.
So are you talking about career?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down, work. Okay, so, which I probably should have said before you said it, but I thought that was what you were calling about. Let's get your birthday, Crystal.
Yeah, 6/28 of 68.
Oh, okay. 16/26. So you have a pretty high karmic number, Crystal. Your karmic number is 40, and your master number is 4. You're 51 years old, right?
Correct.
Okay. So since you've never called the show before, there would have been a change for you in 2008 at the age of 40. Do you remember what happened in that year?
Yes, it was a big year for me. I broke my back and went through a supernatural healing that year.
Oh, wow. God, broke your back. How did you do that?
I don't know. I just bent over one day to pick something up, and when I went to stand back up, I couldn't get up.
Oh, my gosh. And you actually broke your back? The bones broke?
My L5S1 and L5S2 both herniated, and the L5S2 had a chip off of it that went underneath that S1, and there was a level 2 spinal stenosis, which cut the filling off down into my right foot, so my right foot actually dropped, like was a drop foot. I said filling, but it felt like pins and needles. Mm-hmm.
Right, I thought that would create a numbness in your foot.
Yeah.
Wow. It's amazing how
completely healed though.
Really? That's great. That's great. It's just, you can do such damage to your back with such a small movement. I read about someone else who had a back injury from bending down and would have died had she not gone to the hospital. It was like a news story that I read recently. And it was like a very subtle movement that she made that caused all this damage. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's shocking. So you're calling about work. You're actually going to have another change at the age of 52. It'll be your 13th cycle of your master number. So that's coming up. Well, I mean, within the next 9 months, I guess, or so. 8, 9, 10 months. And you feel stagnant at your job. How long have you been working at what you're doing?
I've kind of always been in the same, I've always helped people on one level or another, whether it be as a social worker or more towards like spiritual, doing healing and that kind of thing. So I've always been in a helping position. And I'm kind of over people. I'm just like, I need something besides people right now.
Okay. And so you're a social worker?
Yes.
I thought she was going to be in healthcare, which is not exactly right, but it's related.
It's human
services. Yeah. I imagine that the bureaucracy must be frustrating dealing with social patients that you have and being able to help people because of the laws that are imposed and, whatever,
What is it, specifically your question?
Just, is there, like, I'm just looking for a message, direction, some kind of inspiration, something.
And you do energy work too, or did you do that on the side?
I do. Yep.
So what do you do exactly? What is your...
So I am trained in Reiki and infinity healing and a few other modalities like that. And so, I just kind of blend them all together.
So are but you say that you're tired of people. So you're not looking to do energy work full time, I imagine, because you maybe want something that's a little bit different in terms of being so involved directly with
I'm feeling like I need a break from peopling at that level.
Okay, so The energy, you know this probably from doing your work, the pure energy of spiritual work is going to be on the seventh chakra. And what's happened in your numerical code is that it's
broken
sort
up.
Of skipped the seventh energy. You have in your higher code, you have a six
seven.
And an eight. The two results in a sort of second chakra energy, relationship problem, maybe some difficulty in the family in the former years. There could have been a divorce, some children, I'm not sure, but that might have been the result of that too. But when we get to the idea of six, third eye, and eight, which is an expansion of the energy, and sometimes is equatable to having your own job, having some power, business-wise, making money, things like this, it does command a higher energy than the seventh. And so it's really the first chakra above the crown. So there's a one quality to it. But you see, your battle in life, because you're a four, which is in the balance of the chakra system, the heart, you have a difficult passage between how to incorporate that seventh energy into your life. And when you do take these breaks, how do you do it without presenting yourself with a fair amount of karma?
She does. I mean, her higher number is seven on the karmic side. 628.
No. She's a 68, so the higher karmic.
No, 628.
Six.
16,
oh,
she's
yeah,
a seven.
That would be a, yeah.
Yeah. She has
on
a broken
karmic side.
Yeah, she has
but
a broken
see, that
seven.
Karma, yeah. But that's
I mean, not a broken
life.
Seven. Yeah, exactly.
So
there's
so
a karma in the seventh chakra.
Crystal, of having some tiring of being in the human services and then feeling a little tired is a result of some karma residual energy. We're all entitled to take breaks. So your idea of being tired is kind of double-edged, because in some respects on a human level, it's understandable. On a spiritual level, it's unacceptable, because you don't, you're supposed to go through life in service.
And then endure everything.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I have a question about her spiritual work. Oftentimes, people that are doing energy work are not processing energy totally out of their bodies, so that, you know, they get tired, they get sick. And I think there might be something going on with how she's receiving the energy and being able to get rid of it. And that's why she's suffering from this exhaustion.
Well, that spinal, that breaking back is in the spinal cord. So we're looking at
the kundalini.
Some kundalini or some energy field in your chakra system, because it holds, the spine holds all the energies of that connotation. So there's something you would have to go back, Crystal, in this lifetime and figure out what happened in this lifetime that you could trace back to possibility a shadow resulting from a former life. Was it something with your parents? Was there a division? Was it something with a soulmate, supposedly a soulmate? Was it something with children? You have to look at your life and start there and say, what was the, aside from breaking my back, what was the most dramatic thing that I've experienced on this planet with people? Not being weary of doing work, but the most dramatic experience. Can you share any of that on the radio?
Yeah, it definitely would be with parents. And that was like in my adolescence, being my parents went into religion, which I didn't comply. And so I got put within their religion foster program. And that was pretty rough.
Foster program? So your parents actually sent you out of the home?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
wow. See, and that was the two that Neil was mentioning.
That's what we were referring to before, Crystal. And that is the continuation of a former story in a previous life. So you didn't see, because you were innocent, supposedly, but according to the parameters of the soul, you came in with this karma. So, and we were kind of picking up on it and validated. Yeah, I had trauma with my parents and the idea of religion, more or less. And
interesting too, she's the theme of, you know, show today, what we're talking about.
So that comes into the low level of spirituality. introducing religion into spirit, which became kind of obnoxious.
Right,
and
divided, and in fact divided the family.
And divided the
which
family.
Which is not any relation to what spirit, I mean,
right.
You know, spirit
then,
doesn't divide.
But then Crystal, she deviated from that, but kept the idea of spirit by going into Reiki and
yeah.
and all that kind of energy. And you being tired is probably compounded by the anger and the repression and the aggression that was put on you in your earlier physical years.
So, Crystal, does any of that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. So it makes sense. Yeah. So what's the remedy?
The remedy is
how do I remedy this?
Okay, here's your remedy. Talk spiritually to yourself and say, this is where I want to merge my spirit. Whether it's self-promoting or, you know, doing something for yourself, a business or whatever, or taking a relaxation, don't abandon your spirit.
What?
That would be the specifics we can't produce on this radio show. That's for another time.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to have a discussion with your spirit. Be in total agreement that the next chapter of your life will include spirit in some capacity.
Okay.
And it's not wrong to change careers if you want to change careers.
No.
I mean, you can change careers. That's not what we're saying. So if there's something you have in mind that you think is going to be less exhausting to you, pursue it. But as Neil was saying, retain that spiritual essence that you should maintain your spiritual energy.
Yeah,
no
always,
matter what you do.
You can always call back and continue the discussion or give us a private call. But that's where it would start, Crystal.
Thank you.
Okay, Crystal, thanks for finding our show.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And Crystal can follow us on Facebook. She can find our accounts on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Yeah, we have the first same five letters of our name, but then they deviate. Crystal and Kristen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, 916. Our next caller. Hi. Hello, 916. Bad connection. They might be able to hear us. So 916 is going to disconnect you if you are able to call back. Please do so. Call and they're doing their
skydiving. We get all kind of calls.
Okay, so back to our discussion, which I don't know. Have we exhausted?
Well. You're more than exhausted.
No,
maybe
but I mean, for the limitations of a radio show, expand.
Kind of put it to a different place because we're now, instead of talking about the controversy between spirit and religion, they each have their purpose. Religion, too, the formation of religion is a gathering of people, too.
Right, that's what I was saying in the last show. The community of religion, spirituality is more, you know, I mean, it's not necessarily a gathering of people.
Well, no, but you think of it that in those terms. Of course, you can be a hermit and be a Catholic or a Jew or a Buddhist or whatever. Mm. And in some respects, that's even mandatory. But
Right, if you're like a monk or a nun, sometimes seclusion, there's the cloistered nun.
Or a fiddler on the roof, you know, not too many people are joining you up there. But the idea that people can join in spirit, and that's a typical phrase that we use, you know, we're one in spirit. We are one
right,
in spirit.
One in spirit.
Now we're getting into the idea of what is the better section of what we call religion. When people say one in spirit and people raising their index finger to God or all praising God together or bowing to God together, the action itself without any soundtrack is the sense of spirit. So if we have to get technical and convert religion to spirituality, we can talk about a union of feeling. This gets into a different category of what, this is the better part of religion, is when people are unionized to the extent that they are full of humanity, they're full of love, they're full of acceptance, they are devoid of judgment, and they're joined together in spirit to worship God. Now we're getting closer to how religion can capture
your spirit.
Exceeding the idea that there has to be laws and regulations.
Right, and that was my point. You know, obviously neither of us are involved in organized religion at this point. But I definitely think that my involvement in organized religion, I was heavily, you know, involved throughout my younger days, did help me develop a relationship with God and with Christ, and led me to seeking a more spiritual essence, and you know, took me away from that structure.
I had the same experience growing up. I mean, yeah, there was an organized religion that I had to ascribe to and go through the steps and all that. So there is that idea. But then again, when we get into more esoteric attitudes of religion, we can even talk about the Beatles, All You Need Is Love, and say that that became a spiritual ceiling for a more innovative, productive kind of energy. John Lennon was not a religious person. He was more of a God-loving love appreciation of that energy.
Right, and there was a more psychedelic kind of energy that the Beatles had. I mean, they experimented with drugs.
Yeah, there was
the 60s.
A great experimentation, of course.
So,
but the emphasis, when we look at the noun / verb, the love, we get into more of an idea of what the approachable definition of spirit is, because love doesn't have any sort of, the word itself, stripped of any other definition or connotation, involves acceptance, and it involves peace, and it involves harmony and union. So that now we're getting into how we can convert the idea of religion into something that is more or less universal.
Yes, and we're going to bring on this caller now. I believe this is Pat. Hi.
Hi, it's Pat in Connecticut. How are you?
Hi, good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Is there too much background noise?
No, it's fine. We're fine.
Okay. Wondering if you could help me with my dog.
Oh, what's going on with your dog?
Suddenly yesterday when I picked him up from where I take him, it's sort of like daycare, it's sort of entertainment for him, or at least I hope. He was drooling with his head hung low all the way home. Today I got in the car, he's drooling. He's so freaked out, he's trying to get under my feet while I drive. I can't figure out.
You're in the car right now?
Yeah.
With him, and where are you headed?
Well, I just went to a flea market. I'm heading home, or I was going to take him to the daycare, but I can't figure out.
Well,
what's
I mean,
upsetting.
You should take him to the vet. If
I would take him to the vet. He might have ingested something that was noxious or.
It sounds like
toxic.
A nerve, something with the nervous system that is
drooling,
dropping like
and
that.
Cowering. No, Pat, I wouldn't mess around with that. Take it to the vet.
It's just in the car, though.
I still would take him to the vet.
It doesn't. I would be concerned. I mean, the car, it's not the definition of just being in the car. The dog's body is doing something that is questionable. And whether it's happening in the car or outside of the car, I mean, you mean to say that if you take him out of the car, he's running around and he's fine?
Well, when I brought him home last night, he was fine, you know. It was just this morning getting, I mean, his head isn't hanging now. It was just this morning getting back in the car. And actually, there was a trauma about 3 weeks ago in the car, but I think he would have had anxiety sooner than 3 weeks later.
So you're thinking that it's possible that this is just a anxiety issue, behavioral, relating to something that occurred in the car.
Sometimes he'll bark at people, and I wonder, are people mean to him if he scares them as they walk by? I just don't know. But
what happened in the car?
I'm mortified to say he's on a very, very, very long leash, so he gets to run around when I walk him. And I leave it on him as I'm driving around, and it was hanging out the door, and it got caught on the tire, and his neck got jerked terribly.
Oh my God. You could have
broken his neck.
I know.
Foolish, awful. But
I'm mortified.
That could have caused some damage. I would have
taken
him checked out.
Take him to the vet because
you need to have him checked out. You can't second. I mean, he could have disturbed something in the vertebrae.
That's
talk about
right.
breaking a back. I mean, if got caught on the tire and the dog was pulled back and slammed against the car, there could be neurological damage. You need to take the dog to the vet.
Okay.
Yeah, probably should have done it at the time. I mean, it would have been better probably to take him to the vet immediately after that happened because, you know, obviously it would have been treated sooner if there's any problem. But, is the affordability a problem for you?
Yes. I've only just begun to pay off about $2,000 worth.
Right now, I wouldn't worry about affordability. I would take the dog to the vet.
Yeah, further arrears.
As soon as possible.
You
may need x-rays. You can work out the bill later, but right now the dog needs to be examined.
Are you picking up anything, or is this just your opinion?
I'm not picking up good things. I would rather you go there and prove me wrong.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm proving you wrong, but I'm not picking up anything good.
Okay.
Okay, Pat. Well, let us know what happens.
I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. You're welcome. All right. We don't have any more callers, so we can continue talking.
So where were we on this topic?
We were getting into the idea of religion or any other. I mean, you know, we were talking about the Beatles being, we have another caller. Suddenly another caller comes in. 951.
Hi, it's Nathaniel.
Hey, Nathaniel. I was just thinking of you Tuesday on our last show. So funny you should call. 5157, am I right?
Yeah,
I remembered. Okay. 28101, what's going on?
Well, I had a colonoscopy and they took out some polyps and they found out that I had cancer.
Oh no. Oh no. And
This
is Matt's number. So it's 5157. He's 28101.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that first chakra is where you have the cancer. That's your master number. So, and it's
that's
also
right.
So, God. Well, what, tell us a little bit more. We're so sorry to hear that.
Well, yeah, thank you. I've been taking, some a lot of different things. I know apricot kernels have B17 laetrile in them. And I know there's a black seed oil, if you ever look that up. That's supposed to be, the Egyptians used to use that for everything. But there's a few other things I've taken from Dr. Joel Wallach. And just trying to avoid the surgery. They said it's only in like stage one or two.
Well, that's great because, prognosis for that level of cancer in that area is going to be much better. I know people that have had cancer in the colon and were able to recover from it.
Like rectal, it's colon rectal cancer.
Too. Oh, it's in the rectum too?
Yeah, so I'm not exactly sure.
Sheriff Hofstad had that.
I had a lot of polyps taken out, and I think they said there was one up by the liver or something, so I'm not exactly sure. I asked to see the MRI, but, you know, they just want to do the surgery, but I'm trying to avoid that.
Well, have you gotten a second opinion?
I've called back. I'm talking to the same guy that I was going to talk to. It kind of got sidetracked. I talked to genetics, and I told them that I really wasn't wanting to get the operation, and, you know, so that got sidetracked. So I talked to the doctor yesterday, and I said, I'll see what my options are and everything. So,
did you have any symptoms previous to the examination?
You know, I just felt a little pain in the first chakra area, but I've had a hernia mesh or surgery about 20 years ago. And I didn't know if, you know, that had, you know, contributed to it one way or another.
And the surgery, is it outpatient surgery or do you have to be in the hospital?
Oh, that was just the outpatient, you know.
No, if you were to do it now, if you could do surgery now, if you were to do surgery now, would it be outpatient or inpatient?
You know, I think it would be an inpatient. I might be in there for a couple of days, but I think they want to try to stick it in like a couple of chopsticks, you know, and then do the work.
Surgery is not anything that anybody wants to go through, obviously, but I don't know. I mean, if they're recommending surgery to remove it all, I don't know if I would personally, if I was recommended to have surgery for something like that, I don't know if I'd personally go a natural route. I mean, doing all those natural things I think is okay, but you don't want this cancer to spread. And if there's cancer that is near organs, like the liver, I mean, I don't know. Are they saying they haven't? I mean, the reason for surgery, obviously, they got some of it out during a colonoscopy. Is that what they did?
Yeah, you know, what they do is they have polyps, and they took out 10 polyps, and then I had another cancerous tumor, lower, you know, it's pretty low, and first chakra, I would say, but, you know, they took out a couple of the other ones. They said tested positive for cancer, a couple of polyps, but it may not be, you know, that may help with other stuff.
They want to go in because they think there's other areas that they couldn't get out.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to get the whole thing, you know. Well, I called back, so I'm getting more information. You know, I should talk to the surgeon, you know, soon.
Well, you can always seek a second opinion, Neil. What do you want to say?
I mean, I think that you in this case like this, I wouldn't mess with it, Nathaniel. I wouldn't, you know, your natural pathway is your choice, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I would follow the doctor's orders on something like this.
Yeah.
I mean, some people do these things and it gets worse. But if you have cancerous tumors in your colon or rectum, by the time, even if you try to remedy it naturally or homeopathically, it could be too late. I don't know if I would. You really need to talk to the doctors.
And you can always go ahead.
Tell them what route you're deciding to take. Let them hear it. But I would still. What is your reluctance about surgery? Aside from, you know, you don't want to do it.
And it's uncomfortable. I mean,
it's a, you know, nobody wants surgery.
Nobody wants cancer.
The surgeon was pretty, you know, he had an intern in there and he didn't really give me a lot of answers and he didn't really know until he talked to genetics. So
you know,
you need to
your dialogue. Yeah, exactly. or get a second opinion if the surgeon isn't communicating with you in a way that you think.
I'm still getting my first opinion. I've still got to finish getting my first opinion, I think, but, you know.
Yeah, I understand that. But if there's a dialogue that's not occurring with the surgeon and you feel, I mean, you try to talk to him again, but if you feel like
he's
not.
He's chief of surgery, too. He's chief of surgery.
At a specific hospital, he's not chief of surgery in all of, you know, the United States. So there's other opinions that you can seek, you know, at other institutions.
Right.
And if you don't like this doctor, Nathaniel, there's, you know, you can always talk to other doctors. But time is of the essence. I mean, you've got cancer. It sounds like it's still in your body. That's why they want to do surgery. So I would definitely get in touch with your current physicians, as well as perhaps visiting another facility. I mean, there's got to be
you
a facility
think,
in your area.
Nathaniel, what overruled your decision? If you want to live, then that should
I'm just not, you know. I'm thinking I could, you know, either get a miracle or, you know, write this off myself.
Right now, don't count on miracles. Right now,
I didn't want to run out, you know, from being not lack of faith.
What did he say?
You could see how much time you have to spare, and see if your remedies will work within that time frame, according to the doctors. But if you ignore this because you want to avoid surgery, death by colon cancer is devastating. So you're faced with a decision about your life. You need to think about your life first, because that's what I'm hearing is predominant. So if you could talk to your doctor and say, how much time do I have to make a decision? Can I explore these other methods and do another test before I make a final decision and see if there's any change in the results?
Well, they're really not going to know and just say, you know, as soon as possible, probably, you know, because they can't pick.
Well, there's no way to know what they're going to say until
they're
going to
know more by, you know, what's that?
You've got to have another conversation with them. It sounds like the information they're giving you is very vague. Are you happy with your physician,
the physician that I have seems to be working pretty good. I seem to be able to, you know, communicate to it all this yesterday. So.
2 minutes.
We're suggesting to go to the doctor route, and prayer and everything else. You might try alternative methods, but
I would do those in addition to conventional medicine, because at this point, you know, there's cancer in your body. We're not talking about prevention or treating a minor illness. It's serious.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You can't expect us to say, oh, you know, just go work on faith and prayer and take some black seed. Not in a situation like this, Nathaniel. We have to turn it back over to the doctors and wish you well and put out energy and see if there's any way you can relax the date of the operation to see if there's any improvements that can be made. You can ask them that. They might be able to give you a range. If they say, well, as soon as possible, and you say, could I wait 6 months? They may say, well, no. They may say, we don't know. It's up to you. It's hard to say. We can keep an eye on it.
My financial thing is I've been approved for the surgery, I guess, because they're waiving the financial obligations with my job and everything. So I have, since it's the 20th today, I have 3 months to get the operation done.
I mean, you've got to find out again, you know, what the surgeon recommends. It sounds like there's not a long waiting period if you have a limitation on the time that they're going to pay for this. And you certainly don't want to have to pay out of pocket. So, I would have a conversation with him as soon as possible, seek a second opinion, because I anticipate the second opinion is probably going to be same as the first as far as recommending surgery. I don't think they're going to say, you know, treat this with homeopathic remedies.
No, I doubt it. But, you know, Nathaniel, it's a tough one, but we're trying to give advice that it seems more medically reasonable in a situation like this.
So, you know, do that. Get back in touch with us so we can have the, you know, follow-up information. But we're really sorry, and we'll be praying for you, Nathaniel.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. Happy birthday there.
Hey.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, thanks.
Thank you, Nathaniel. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, call us soon. Bye-bye. Okay, we are out of time. We'll be back on the air next week, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone. Bye.